like, yay, high five for us. Like, I still look cute. Oh, I know. You always look cute, right? There's enough to.
Yeah,
so but I'm Jane, by the way.
He never talked about it, never said anything about it, wouldn't talk about it.
and then we discovered it after his death. And I realized that I didn't want to do that to my children either. And I am a Vietnam War veteran, decorated, and came home to a country that didn't like any of us at the time. And so I started writing my story and realized that if I fictionalized it, it might help a lot of people with PTSD and what's going on in Iraq right now. So I have two books that I have finished, but have not published either one. One is in the final edit, and the other one is in beta review. The first is a story of Vietnam and the returns, and the second is a anthology of short stories about rural practice in northern Wisconsin with the Amish, which are all true stories of my practice times. And so I'm still struggling with deciding how to do those, whether to publish them as individual short stories or as just a compendium of all of those stories.
Wow.
Well, so that's where
Mike is in one of the stages that I think everyone who wanted to click on this link beforehand or had sent in questions beforehand was talking about how do I get that on the market, what are my best options sort of thing. So thank you guys for introducing yourselves, and I was going to go, I promised this book, so I was going to go with you three questions, and then I got up this morning with only 2 hours of sleep and was like, screw it. I'm so sorry. But if you guys quickly want to tell us like how you got started and what do you think is the most important part about getting into writing, the most difficult and challenging part? Anybody can take this.
Okay.
Well,
I'll like,
go ahead.
You
answer first. No, go
yeah.
for it.
I just I got started writing books because of NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month. And the challenge was to finish a full book in, or 50,000 word book in 30 days. So the whole month of November, including with Thanksgiving and everything, you're writing a book. And I discovered I could. And I think that's the really a really big key is to prove to yourself that you can do it. Because once you've done it once, it makes it much easier to do it again because you know the process. And so I started doing that, and I wrote like six of those, but I never published them. I shoved them in a desk drawer, and they still collect dust. But that led me to, when I was working on building my business in 2011, we were struggling to find clients, and I was looking for a way to attract them to our business. And I came across this course called Getting Rich with Ebooks. And I didn't, by the way, get rich with ebooks. I'm still not rich yet. But I'm working on it. And anyway, so I took the course, and part of what it taught me was to look for Google searches to figure out what topic might be of interest to people. And I discovered that there were a whole lot of searches every single month for how to write a book. And I was like, well, I can't teach you how to publish it, I can't teach you how to market it, but I can teach you how to write it. And so that's what led me to publish my first book, was I sat down over a weekend at the kitchen table and wrote how to write a book in 40 days or less. I don't recommend releasing a book that you write over the kitchen table in the weekend. I did, and actually it got surprisingly good reviews. And that book led me to start up a writer's group, and starting up the writer's group led me to figuring out what other writers needed. And so I ended up writing four books that followed me. One was creating a character backstory, and the other was how to find the right time, how to find all the time you need to write a book. So yeah, and that's kind of the start of my publishing, and the right time was where I learned to self-publish. That was the first book I self-published. It took me about 8 weeks to figure out the process, and of course over the years I've kind of refined it, and my books look better and better on the inside. And that's been my journey.
I'm so sorry, I said I wasn't going to like ask people, but Christine, I know you have a different story, because you got picked up by an actual publisher, unlike us, who's working on a publisher to show.
Yeah, originally I started writing because we were living in the country, and the kids were small, and I thought, you know, it would be a really easy job, I could write romance novels, because I would have to put out thoughts, and then do thoughts, and then Actually, it's not easy. That took me, it was about 1998. I decided I'm going to write a book. And I still never spawned in 2005. But the point where I decided I was going to be a writer was the point where I started writing regularly, a few pages a day, 10 pages a day, 1,000 words a day, with the goal of catching things in manuscripts. And eventually I found RWA, which is Romance Writers of America, and they have a contest for unpublished authors with complete manuscripts. So every year I'm entered this, every year I get knocked down. But the more times I enter, the more complete manuscripts I have, and more experience I have putting them together and classes and things. And by 2005, I had this book that everyone's looking for themselves, because they're buying historic romances at that point. And I won the contest, and it was Judge Greg Ender, and she bought it. And after that, you know, she said, what else do you have? And I wrote another one in the course of a year, and so 2 weeks off work, because I couldn't get it done, and I said to my boss, I'll get this finished quick. It's going to take at least the last book 2 years. It's going to take at least 6 weeks to look at it. I promise I won't ask for anything else. And within 2 days, she read it, she liked it, she offered me a 3-book contract. And when they looked at me at that time, I said, well, I guess 2 weeks' notice. Which is a really stupid thing to do to that, because everyone will say, no, for today, because writing is dangerous. But as Brent said, a lot of it, it's about consistency. It's about knowing you can do it. It's about getting up in the morning, and you wake up in the morning, and you can't really believe how it happened. You have to talk yourself into it, you know, jumping off that cliff every single book. Now I think I've got 23 novels, plus short stories, plus novellas. I'm traditionally published. I've got indie self-published work. I'm working on one each right now. So, yeah, it's exciting to be a writer. There are a lot of different ways to go about it, but the first step is consistent and treat it like a job.
Awesome! Okay. I was also going to ask, Ms. Booth, you started off as a journalist.
Yes. Well, actually, I started off as a journalist for 30 years. In the course of that, I spent a lot of time helping young people learn how to write. So when I retired, I said, I'm going to have fun and just do it myself. So I started, in 2000, when I started as a journalist, you know, in terms of teaching, there were a lot of information. So there were a lot of places that needed it, obvious information. I had a lot of time here. So I followed my own interest and queried the nearest publications. It's a little harder now to find publications that are paid rather than just having to log for free. But there still are publications that will pay you for the articles. I have the pleasure of getting to meet people with interviews and research on such things. So that's how I proceeded with this particular program.
Hi, can I ask you a quick question? And then I'm probably going to let Jade and somebody else talk, because I am being a narcissist, but I normally am. You wouldn't mind writing, it looked like a really dark narcissist. Anyway, my question is, when you started writing, you've written an anthology and actual novel. What were your biggest challenges just jumping in from being like a doctor to going into the creative field? What were your biggest challenges?
Well, the easiest one is that I don't like to write.
That's
a pretty great challenge for me. I love to read, and I like to tell stories. In addition to practice, I've also been a visiting professor at two of the universities in the Midwest, and everybody always likes particularly the practice stories and different things like that, you know, the personal human interest stories. And so over the years, I've become an engaging storyteller. But taking an engaging story from an engaging storyteller and then putting it in print is a completely different animal altogether. And so I don't want to write in a way that overestimates people's interest. And so writing and making writing interesting was a challenge for me. And the novel that I wrote, which is kind of long, it's about 125,000 words, took me 3 years. The short stories or the practice stories I can write one of those in an evening, just because it's basically, it just comes out as a story, and then I have to go back and make it readable. So those are my challenges.
Okay, awesome. That's fantastic. Really, Natalie, you had a question before we started this, before we started. So,
can I ask it now?
I would like to ask it now.
You aren't supposed to include me in these conversations. I'm supposed to be a lurker.
No.
Okay,
oh, I feel bad. I feel so bad.
So, as you said,
well, I'm trying to learn, that's for sure.
So you have a question. Go ahead and shoot it off now if you mind.
Me, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I was asking Brandy, this is all relatively new for me, and they talk a lot about how you're supposed to widen your base, your interest base, and everything else, and how much self-promotion you're supposed to do if you self-publish, and how to create lists and how to write blogs. And I read blogs, and I gotta tell you, those people way overestimate my interest. and so I find those things duller than dirt. And I would not want to get into one of those things just so that I can get somebody to read my book. And so I was questioning, you know, what the best way to go is. And on that, as a side note, can you do both traditional publisher, or can you like put your book on Amazon, and then if it's interesting, will a publisher pick it up?
Yes, actually. Several of the traditional publisher authors started off as self-published, and when publishers saw that there was a market for it and the book was proven, they went back and picked up the author. There are advantages to working with a traditional publisher, which you don't have when you're self-publishing. Traditional publishers have a mile-long list of contacts. They've had the chance to develop over 125 different publishing companies that are out, which you and I obviously can't compete with that because we have a limited type span. So they develop contacts. They can get you into areas and stores that you couldn't get into otherwise. It's easy. They know the trends, and they have access to all the market data, so they can kind of get the main what's most likely to sell and what's not. And that's actually what drives their decision to buy these days.
I talk a lot, so if you want me to shut up, you're just going to have to let me know.
I know that we have a small press.
Contact her, and she asked if she deserves to do a quote. she was not, but she had suggestions to me that I contacted publishers. They have a very clear structure. They follow the pages and the pages as well. So that was a big help since obviously I hadn't done this before. And I learned a lot. And it was an interesting process getting to know people because sort of journalistic opportunity. So they could tell me about the images, the pictures, the local stories, the anecdotes, and stuff. So Mark Nelson spoke about a very
Did that help at all, Mike?
I have taken several notes, as a matter of fact. So, you know, the point that I'm at right now was to me, and the editors that I've sent the book to are constantly apologizing to me about, we think you should take this out or you know, that sort of thing. And we apologize for being critical in it. I keep telling them that it's the story that I'm interested in, not the words. And so you just go ahead and slash and burn if you need to. But then we get into this thing where we do self-promotion. And because I love the story, self-promotion sounds narcissistic to me. And so I'm trying to get my hands around that because the monetary end of it was not my motivation in the first place. So I'm learning.
Editing and Winona are not great. They're not great. Like, she would literally remember just about every word of editing. And it's really kind of fun. I laugh at that all the time. But they are trying to make your book better and beautiful to everyone. And also for self-promotion, I mean, it is kind of narcissistic, but if you think about it, like, your book is your small business. How are you going to know? How is anyone going to know if you don't tell them? I mean, like, if you had a house cleaning business, but you only cleaned your own house, you know, like, that's not cool. Or even if you had to live over, look how good I clean my house, because I have business, and I clean houses, and they have you, and then they tell somebody else or someone else, well, then that's fake. And I know you go to Just for Your Kids, you go to Fred, I'm telling you, your book selling is going to help a lot of you. So be out there, be proud, be voted, this is your baby, this is your business, this is what you've done to help people. And you just tell them, look, I wrote this book because P.S. was the stress tester, is amazing, and people need to know about it, need to know it's okay, and have to have one, and this is how you get over it, and this is why I wrote this book, and so let people know, it's okay.
No, I was just going to say, I hate to write the greatest story nobody read.
Right. I think we're all in that boat right now, especially. But I'm saying, can you guys quickly tell us one of your answer horror stories where I'm going to shop there and self-publish whatever?
You just want to have someone else have a bag.
I do.
Well, I do editing. And the hardest thing to work with is somebody who's way too emotionally attached to their writing. If you can't accept the fact that a rough draft is just that, it's rough. It's going to need polishing and cutting and a lot of work before it's really ready to put out there. You have to kind of detach yourself emotionally from what you've written and accept that is just a starting point. And if you really want it to shine, you're going to have to let the jeweler cut it, polish it, and get rid of the flaws.
Christine or Jan?
Oh, my first revision letter. I did not think anyone was actually going to read the manuscript because every year I entered the contest and I would get a horrible score or the one of the scores, and then I would go back and cry, and then I would have to ask you. So I assumed this is going to be another year of crying to death. And I looked as quickly as I could to make sure that I had an entire manuscript and it was short, so average, okay, definitely a full book, send it off. And then the other official letter came, and you have to imagine everything from a very proper British voice, which is this Mills and Boone in London, where I had class. One of the things I said, but I didn't take care of that. And the other one was, various elements of sexuality. But generally, we do not wish to include any hasty
got like half illness, so you might want to take that out. And I'm like, what? But I have done was on Friday when I told myself at a 10-page deadline, I'd written a scene about Hiro's ex-wife, and that she had argued with him and accused him of everything up to buggering the farmhands. And I just sort of thrown that line in and got to my 10 pages, closed the computer, and went on my way. And no, you want to be more careful about your choices of words.
I'm so gonna say something right there. I don't wanna upset any of the UK viewers, so I'm gonna be quiet right there. But it's so UK though. It's so UK.
I can assure you that I haven't put any buggering up my
mouth. Well,
you're
Jan, did you want to share your story?
Well, also, I just wanted to say, suggest to Mike, you sort of covered this, but I have a friend who self-published eight novels. This is a series that begins around 1910 or so, proceeds on for most of the 20th century. And he has been very successful. Contacted one historical association in his area and spoke to them. And certainly in the Amish community story or Vietnam, both are subjects that historical groups would be interested in. So you might find lecturing, and since you've taught as a professor, you know how to use your slides and so forth. He's been very well received in his books. He sold a lot himself, just doing these lectures, so something you might consider.
I will.
I feel like we should answer something on the self-promotion question because I am the resident narcissist. Does anyone mind? No? Oh, okay.
I'm kind of missing your hat today, to tell you the truth. This woman wears the most amazing hats.
She knows how to make hats.
No hat today. But
to answer that point about Sometimes speaking really does help you tell your books because people are like, oh, they do know what they're talking about, so I'm not wasting my money. Okay, great. And then they give you your money. Okay.
Also, from self-promotion point, it's really important that you do that because most people, I don't know, maybe Kristen, maybe not Miss Merrill, but most people, they meet the author first and for self-published people, and then they like the author or they like the author's story, and then they meet the book. And that's what we found in our case, hence why we have a brand and not just straight books.
Our podcasts are very, very cool to do. They're very fun. Look like videos, but that's my own two cents, right?
Yeah, but we weren't going to really talk about anything that we were doing. So anyway, I do have a quick question for Randy. A quick question for Randy. So switching out from going from writing into other branches, how did you find that to be? I mean, what made you want to do that, and what were the challenges?
I'm not quite following the question. So I'm working on that reality TV show in part because, well, here's the thing. Writers don't often see themselves this way, but as writers, you're stepping into a leadership position, and you're becoming somebody who influences generations. And I really wanted, the American public has a fascination with writers, and I really kind of wanted to peel back the covers and show what happens on the other side of things. How you get from having a concept to having a customer. You know, what that process is and what the challenges are, so that when writers step out, they don't just have a dream, they have a realistic expectation about how to fulfill that dream. Because I think that's something we do a grave disservice to kids in school publishing becomes this black box where, you know, you finish your manuscript, you send it off, and magically it becomes a book. But that's not really how it happens. So that was the goal with 40 Day Writer. And like I said, I'm still working on getting that concept up and running, but we're making baby steps in that direction. Feels like it's going to take forever. But yeah, I mean, that's the original concept came actually because I was looking for a way to finance a writer's retreat center. I was thinking to myself, okay, well, what could you do to offer people. And I was like, well, what if I offered to bring them on a TV show? And then I was like, a TV show for writers? That would be really cool.
That worked.
And then, yeah, so then I developed it from there. And so, yeah, that's kind of how my brain works.
Well, thank you.
It would be a great tool for helping to promote their books as they're being written so that people know what's coming down the pipeline and are getting excited about it. Because, Mike, you have a valid point. Self-promotion is actually something that most people are trained not to do. We're told not to brag on ourselves, that it's not modest, that it's not humble. But in reality, humility is not denying that you have a gift. It's acknowledging the source of the gift. So if that helps you, and I hope it does, it's okay to talk about your work. It's okay to let other people know that you have this available. What's important is to remember that you would have that available if you hadn't had all these experiences and support getting there. As long as you do that, you're not going to hurt your modesty. Your word will be in the mail.
You've been surprised so many people have questioned my modesty.
Well, you know. Becoming, I think part of the thing is they're not reading as much, and because of that, they're not getting that broadening of perspective that comes. So I think we really do need to get back to having more people read.
Yes, reading used to be entertainment and education. And because of the electronics these days, it has become easier to be amused than it has to be educated.
Miss Merrill, our best-selling author, would you say anything about that?
Mostly, I would say writers, storytellers, we're like cockroaches. We are always
great.
You're going to be there if we go back to Games of Fire. People always are looking for somebody who can put their life in perspective and who can entertain them with the same themes. Because really, stories haven't changed that much over the year. They're about people and what people do, adventures, emotion. The core elements don't change, and people will always want them.
I'm gonna say, even the digital stuff is usually based on something that's been written in print. You know, television shows, radio, podcasts, videos, they're usually based on something written in print first.
Absolutely. I want to say, Ms. Merrill and Brandy, yeah, thank you guys so much for making, and Mike, of course, yeah.
Wow.
I really appreciated, like, your words on, like, where we will be in the 21st century, because as a self-published author and constantly trying to be mobile and moving so we can, you know, get our brand more out there widely, you start to think that the written word, the book, might not be the best way to go, but to remind us that, you know, the written word is where it all started anyway, it kind of brings you back and gives you some security almost, that you will pay, even if you don't have everything, the written word is good enough.
Well, the written word will survive.